So we this morning we're really blessed to have Lyndon Wall sitting right over here. Come on up, Lyndon. And he's from Refresh Ministry. So I'll let you tell the people a little about yourself and about the ministry you do. And
Getcha.
Yep. Good.
All right. Thank you, Stan. I'll just move on up here. It's great to be with you this morning. As Stan mentioned, my name is Lyndon Wall, and I have a ministry called Refresh Ministries. Been doing that about 12 years, and the origins of that were I was a pastor in Sexsmith for 14 years. During that time, I went through burnout. Had a terrible experience with burnout, but was granted a sabbatical by our congregation to learn how to handle that. And during that time, I saw that this was a widespread issue. And so, I won't give the full chronology, but about 6 years later, not 6 hours, 6 years later, we began a ministry called Refresh. So just to give you a little bit about myself, my wife Marlene and I have been married 33 years. We have three adult children, and we live in Sexsmith. So as I mentioned, I was a pastor in Sexsmith for 14 years, and then we were invited to go to Nigeria to serve as pastor to missionaries, and we did that for a time, and so dealt with a lot of very challenging and dangerous situations, high stress, caring for missionaries there. And then when we came back in 2008, we began Refresh Ministries. And so since that time, we've been seeking to provide soul care to ministry leaders. And that's our theme, and that's what we do by God's grace. I want to talk to you about making great transitions. My theme this morning is coming from 2 Kings chapter 9, or 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 to 15. And I'd like to start by reading that passage. This is one of the major transitions in the life of Israel. And we're going to look at some of the principles today, this week, and the next time I'm here, Lord willing, so today I want to talk about three wise decisions in times of transition. Next time, I'm going to talk about some common mistakes made in times of transition. So first of all, three wise decisions in making great transitions, starting in 2 Kings chapter 2, starting in verse 9. When they had crossed the Jordan, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses appeared and separated the two of them. And Elisha went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him, and he went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. And when he had struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. Holy Spirit, by your power, may you guide my words and open our hearts to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Making great transitions. How good are you at making transitions? Do you have good skills for handling major change? What do you do to navigate transition times in your life? It was very early in my life that I realized the need for transition skills. And one sunny Sunday afternoon, a friend of mine came over with his brand new Honda 100cc motorbike. And he was going to teach me how to ride a motorbike. And so he showed me where the brakes were. He showed me how to change the gears and how to put on the throttle. And off I went. And I got up to speed. I was shifting gears. I was going down this road. It was terrific. And then all of a sudden, I realized it was time for a transition. I was coming up to a crossroad, and I had to make a right turn, and I was going too fast. So I started thinking, now, which was the front brake? I don't want to hit the front brake. I want to hit the back brake. How do I shift down? And I guessed wrong. And I slid across that intersection on my side, put some damage on his brand new motorbike. I was okay, of course. I'm standing before you today. Our friendship didn't really prosper after that for some reason. But it was in that moment, I look back and I say, it would have been really great to have some great transition skills. We're in a time of transition in our world. You look to the U.S., there's a time of transition going on. How's that going to handle? Is there going to be good transition? It's all up in the air right now, I think. Our economy is in transition. Our health practices are in transition. How we do church in this pandemic is in transition. Some of you probably are in transition in your own personal life. We had major transitions when our family went to Nigeria and then came back. Those were major transitions. Some things we did well, some things we didn't do well. Some of you are in a health transition. Some of you young people, I see lots of young people here, you're in a transition from childhood to adulthood. Your church is in a time of transition. Your pastor has moved on, and you have to readjust and make new decisions. It brings up all kinds of questions. So like my motorcycle experience, it's good to have some transition skills, which I'm going to talk about now. C.J. Mahaney, who studied church history and churches, said, I've noticed how rare it is for God-glorifying transition of leadership to take place in the local church. It's not an easy given that good transitions are made. So how do we make transitions that are wise? Well, the spiritual leadership in this text of Israel is moving from Elijah to Elisha. Now think of this, how huge this was. Elijah, who had prayed and the rain had stopped, who prayed again and the rain came, who prayed and the fire fell from heaven, who prayed and a dead boy was raised. That's pretty powerful, dynamic spiritual leadership. And now all of a sudden, whoosh, he goes up to heaven in a whirlwind. And the mantle falls to Elisha. That's a major transition. Elisha now becomes the key leader in Israel. So what did Elisha do? Because Elisha made a great transition. First of all, we are wise, when we transition like Elisha, we are wise to grieve. We are to mourn what we have lost. We see Elisha tearing his clothes, took hold of his garment and tore it in two. It was a sign of grief. In the time leading up to Elijah's departure, the prophets of Bethel and Jericho had told Elisha that Elijah was going to be removed. Both times, Elisha replied, don't speak of it. In other words, he didn't even want to think about it. He had this bond with Elijah, and he didn't even want to think about losing him. He said, don't add to my sorrow by reminding me. He's grieving. Elijah has been his spiritual father. Elisha thought so highly of him, he referred to him as the chariots and horsemen of Israel. In other words, you are the protector of Israel. But when he was whisked up to heaven, the first thing Elisha does is he picks his robe up and tears it in two. It's a sign of grieving and mourning. This was a close relationship. When you hear him cry, "My father, my father!" He's crying. He's grieving the loss. In times of a transition, it's acceptable and good to grieve what has been lost. Addressing our losses lays the foundation for accepting the new realities and moving forward. Do you grieve things or people from Fairview past that have been lost? Losses come in many forms: loss of relationship, loss of hopes, loss of unity, loss of ministries enjoyed in the past. Honestly acknowledging our losses prepares our heart to heal and move forward into the purposes of God. Elisha did more than a form of stiff upper lip. Well, that's the way it's going to be. No, he cried out, my father, and he tore his garment. Someone said this: he who lacks time to mourn lacks time to heal or to mend. One part of our grieving well is to pour our heart out to the Lord, telling him what breaks our heart, what our unanswered questions are. And I have to say, in my years of watching transitions at churches, it is precisely at this point where a lot of churches sabotage their future. Not grieving the loss of a pastor leads the congregation to treating the next pastor poorly. I'm not saying that that's going to happen here, but I've seen it happen again and again. And a lot of times it has nothing to do with the new guy. It's just that he's not the old guy. And so unless there's a grief about the loss that has been experienced, then honestly admitting that, these other things come to the surface. Another dynamic I've noticed is that when people grieve, it's often with mixed emotions. You see, Elisha's in a tough spot here. He had this powerful, close friendship with Elijah, but on the other hand, he had a stirring in his heart to have a double portion of Elijah's spirit and to be the next leader. So he's got mixed emotions. On one hand, he's sorry to see him go, but on the other hand, I think part of him is excited. And every church that I've seen go through transition, there's a mix. Some people are really sorry for the loss of the past, and others are excited about the future. Somehow that mix has to be addressed. But I want to say this. The beginning of Elisha's successful transition involved him grieving his loss. And for you to make a successful transition, a good transition, take time to grieve. Take time to grieve what has been lost. Some of you may feel the past was great and you're grieving what was good. Some of you may be grieving hurtful things and disappointments that happened. Grieve those too. There's always a mixture. There's always a mixture. So the first one is grieve. That's the first wise decision. The second wise decision is to grab onto your new assignment. Grab onto your new assignment. I don't know about if this phrase is still used these days. As you can see, I'm getting older. But when I was younger, parents would tell their kids not to be grabby. Don't be grabbing this. Don't be grabbing that. Stop being grabby. But when it comes to transitions, I want you to be grabby. I want you to grab onto your new assignment. Grab onto your new assignment. Elisha grabs onto Elijah's cloak, and he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him. Elisha grabs onto his new assignment. He grabs onto this cloak. The cloak symbolized the authority under God. It symbolized the prophetic mantle. Elisha, to this point, has been Elijah's assistant. If you read the next chapter, Elisha's job had been to he poured water on the hands of Elijah. In other words, that was his job. He looked after the menial tasks serving Elijah. But all of a sudden now, it's a new time, and there's a new role for him to grab. In any successful transition, there is a respectful acknowledgement of the past, but when it comes to the time, then comes a time to embrace the future. Transitions go well if people in the new time are willing to pick up their new assignment. And part of the transition process in a church is to discover or rediscover, go back to that God-given assignment, and then think about how it can be applied in this time. Involved in this discovery often in churches that do this well is much prayer. Are you in prayer? I'm talking about all of you here. Are you in prayer for your transition time? Are you listening to the stirrings of the Spirit? Are the scriptures, are you open to hearing from the scripture principles to apply to your situation? In a time of transition, this needs to be part. Lord, what's our assignment now? The church that I was honored to pastor had many transitions through the years. It first started on the Bible school campus, then some people thought we need to reach our town, and so they moved out, and I think they rented the gym for a while, and then after a while they were able to buy the old United Church, and then they had to transition into two services, and then that kept growing, so they had to transition to building a new building. And later on, they transitioned to planting a couple of churches. But the work of God grew. When they came to a time of transition, they listened. Are you listening? Are you listening? The advances of God's kingdom are completed when we take up the new tasks in times of transition. Though our purpose does not change, our world is changing quickly, and your community is changing a lot. Our culture is changing a lot. By the way, having circulated to many churches in my time, some churches in our area, in our region, they were founded around World War I. Some of them are still using strategies that worked well way back then. I think the Lord Jesus is our model on this. When he walked the earth, he was very clear in his purpose. He came to seek and to save the lost. However, he continued to look to his Father for his daily assignments, how he's going to live that out. In Mark 1, we read of the incredible ministry of Jesus at Capernaum. Everyone wanted him to continue the next day, and it says that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He drove out demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. So Jesus has this incredible ministry in Capernaum. It's just going great. There's people being healed. There's demons being cast out. All kinds of incredible stuff going on. That day ends, and the scripture says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and they found him. They said, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues. So what you have here, incredible things are happening in Capernaum. The next morning, Jesus goes and listens to his Father. Peter and the crew come and say, "Hey, we got to go back here because such great things happened here." And Jesus says, "No, I'm going to go over here because that's why I've come." His purpose to seek and to save the lost was the same, but his assignment looked different the next day. Jesus did not fall into the trap that yesterday's assignments and strategies automatically were today's assignments. In communion, he received his assignment and grabbed onto what the Father had for him that day. And some churches stumble in transition because they don't pick up God's assignment in their new day. They don't grab on. And so I encourage you, in this time of transition in your church, be listening. How do you want us to go forward from here, God? The third decision, third wise decision in time of transitions is go. Go to God for the needed power. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? We see in verse 13 and 14. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and he struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. Where now? Where now is the God of Elijah? Not, well, God was great back then, but he doesn't show his power now. No, we go to God for needed power now. God, it was great when you were with Elijah, but I need you now. Like with Elijah, often, as soon as you receive your new assignment, there will be an obstacle to overcome for which you need God's help. Elijah had to cross the River Jordan to get back to the people that he was serving, so he looked to God for help. Scripture says, our Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This church may be in transition for a new pastor, but I want to tell you, you do not need a new God. He's as available to you today as he ever was. Elisha wisely understood that a change in personnel did not mean a change in God. The God who sent fire for Elijah was still available and active. The God who split the Jordan early was available to split the Jordan now. Successful transitions take place when those who have the new assignment go to God for the power they need to carry out their new assignment. You see, it's the human tendency to revel in what happened in the past. And I'll talk next time about some of this in a little more detail. But you know what I've noted in a lot of Christian families over the years? God did great things for Grandpa. My grandma was a person of prayer, and God answered so many prayers for her back then. I need a new job. What am I going to do? Our faith is in the past. Not now. God provided miraculously in the past, but the present challenges are beyond his reach. God answered prayers in the past, but he doesn't seem to be hearing me. In times of transition, go to God for the needed power. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Has anybody heard that quote before? You've heard it? Who said it? Sorry, I'm just putting you on the spot there. That was said by one of the first Baptist missionaries that ever went out. William Carey. In our church, during the time I was leading in Sexwith, there was an interesting move of God that took place. And out of our congregation, there was about 30 people who felt called to go just north of Sexwith to a little settlement there to start a church. Well, 30 people was a big chunk of our congregation. Core people in our congregation, a big part of the giving of our congregation. A sizable part of the mother church was going to be moved over to this risky endeavor. And so I remember the decision at the annual meeting when we talked about this and made a vote actually to go ahead and bless this group to go do that. And we were worried about how it's going to work out for our church, especially financially. But I also remember a year on at our annual meeting when we saw that our budget was overflowing and this other work was going. In that time of transition, we saw the power of God as available as any time in the past. To make good transitions, grieve the past, grab onto your new assignment, and then go to God and say, God, we need your power now. We need your power now. That is a general outline about making great transitions in a church. What are you grieving? What are you grieving? Take it to God, pour out your heart, ask him the questions, work it through. And then start listening for the leading of the Spirit. How do we apply our assignment now? Yeah, we know we're still supposed to be making disciples. How do we do it now in this time of COVID and in this time of transition? How do we do it now? And then once you have that conviction, then you go to God and say, God, this is what you've put on our heart to do. We need your power. To make good transitions, grieve the past, grab your new assignment, and go to God for the help you need. Lord Jesus, thank you for this congregation. I sense a beautiful spirit here. I pray that you would prosper this group for your kingdom purposes. Keep them from the evil one and bless them, I pray. Amen.